I'm an early bird and I'm a night owl, so I'm wise and I have worms.
Wow.
Oh,
I got your sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Yummy, yummy. Thank you. Ryan.
What was the thing you needed me to come in early for?
The sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. But thank you. And why don't you just take a couple hours, office is yours. Home alone, risky business.
I'm just going to take a nap in my car till work starts.
Okay.
Okay. Out here. I'll watch those cars.
We're on a series talking about difficult people. Manipulative, critical people who are leechy and always needy. People who, like this, make you do the simple things that they should do. Make you go inconvenience you in your life for simple things they should do as well. We're talking about this, the difficult people in our world and how to deal with them. And so the first, last 2 weeks, as we go through the series, we talked about this basic principles. We talked about boundaries. We talked about the fact that we're created for attachment. We're created for relationships. And what we're going to do this week, we're going to talk about, and next week, we're going to talk about two key elements to relationships. And then I'm going to be gone on February 3rd. I'm going to Mexico, and we're having Pastor Dale Barcher to come in. He's going to share with us. He's going to speak. Well, he used to be the pastor of First Christian Church, and now he's works for South Dakota Family Policy Council. A great speaker, an incredible man, and so you guys don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great time. And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to deal with each kind of person individually, the critical, the needy, the manipulative, and so we're going to do that. So today, I invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 10. Now, in this passage of Galatians, Paul started this church that's here, and after he left, these people, some other teachers came in called Judaizers, who came in and taught these people that, wait a minute, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved, to be in God's grace. You need to follow this law in order to be God's grace. And so these people started to fall away from this whole idea that you're saved by grace and by faith, to you have to do this stuff to be saved. And Paul writes this letter. He's like, why are you falling away so quickly? And so he spends the first few chapters talking about the difference between how you're saved by faith, how it's a promise, it's not a work you do. But then in chapter 5, he gets at another issue. Because there were teachers and people started to follow these teachers and other people weren't, there's this division among them. Some people thinking they're better, some people provoking because, well, you didn't accept this teaching, or you did. And so Paul starts to get the matter and he starts talking about our actions and what's inside. And he starts talking about, look, you can't be, so, right, you need to have the fruits of the Spirit and not the fruit of the flesh, right? Don't be provoking evil and being immorality, sexual immorality, don't be causing divisions among people. You need to start having fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And then he comes in chapter 6, he starts addressing some more issues having to do with that. Now, I want to start in verse 7, if that's okay, because it's just easier for me to explain the whole concept if I start in 7 to 10, and then we'll come back and go from the beginning. It's just easier for me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So Paul talks about this basic principle of, we South Dakotans should understand this, of sowing and reaping, right? Someone from California might be a little harder, right? You plant a seed, right, and that's what comes up, that's what you harvest. And he attaches this to our spiritual lives. Right, if you sow, like, sinful stuff, destructions, all those evil fruits that we were talking about earlier, you're going to reap destruction. You're going to reap what it brings you. If you are a divisive person and provoke people, your life is going to get the results of that. You're going to find your whole life is being filled with divisions. If you find you hate people and are trying to tear people apart, you're going to find that even your own relationships will be torn apart as well. But if you start being good and gracious and kind, you will find that will fill your life. You'll find that people will, your harmony will be more peace, and you'll find life more like that. Now, this concept of sowing and reaping, you talk about, it's called consequences. Every action has a consequence, right? Whether good or bad. Or it could be the phrase, if you can't, I don't know if I got this right, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, right? I mean, is it the other way around? I don't know. Anyways. Right? We understand the concept of sowing and reaping. We understand the concept of if you do something, there's consequences, sometimes good and sometimes bad. In Thessalonians, Paul is writing to a church, and he's addressing an issue in this chapter, in this section on, we're going to come back to the passage, an issue on idleness or being lazy. And he says this, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he will not eat. Now the truth is, right, if you don't sow anything, you're not going to reap anything, right? If you don't plant or you don't work to make money, you can't eat. Now some people are coming to the church and they say, this is a nice place. They give charity, they're gracious people. And so they were being lazy and the church was taking care of them. And Paul's saying, do not interrupt this law of this principle of sowing and reaping. Don't interrupt it. If they sow laziness, let them reap it as well. Don't interrupt this principle of sowing and reaping. Now, this is lazy people. This isn't people who are unable to work or can't work. This is people who can but are just don't want to. So there's this principle of sowing, this consequences, and Paul is saying don't cut it. Don't stop it from happening. Some of the material I've been getting for these message series is coming from this book called Boundaries. And in this, there's a story in this book about a counselor who has two parents, a husband and a wife, actually come to him. And so he sits down with them. He says, well, how can I help you guys? Well, you see, sir, we need you to fix our son. Well, where's your son right now? Well, he didn't want to come. He doesn't think he has a problem. Well, okay. Well, what do you think his problem is? Well, you know what? He lives at home and he doesn't have a job, right? He has college we're paying for, but he's not studying. He's not paying. You know, he's not studying very well. He's almost failing, like his second semester. He's not doing any good. And all he does is go out and party and hang out with his friends. We can't get him to hold a job or to pay any, or, you know, to get a job. We can't get him to move out. I mean, His life is just undisciplined. Counselor thinks for a moment and he says, you know what? I'd have to agree with your son. He doesn't have a problem at all. And the parents, didn't you just hear what we just said? You know, your son has it made. He doesn't have to worry about a thing. He can do whatever he wants and you guys will just take care of him. Right, he could fail school and not get a job, and you still feed him meals, pay for his car insurance. You don't have to worry about. He doesn't worry about a thing. Now, would you like me to help you help your child have some problems? Yeah, I think so. See, the parents were interrupting this law of sowing and reaping. The son was sowing laziness and undisciplined life, and the parents would step in, and they would reap what the son sowed. And the son would they had caused problem on their life, but the son was having a great life. Now, thinking about this, as I read that story and I think about this sermon, I began to realize, you know, I have a son and a daughter who don't work. I mean, they don't pay for any meals. All they want to do is just play. I come home, Daddy, can I play this? Can I play that? I mean, the most he does is cleans up after himself and puts some dishes in the sink. He doesn't even put them in the dishwasher. So I decided, I haven't told Jessica this, but starting today, I'm kicking them out of the house and saying, you guys are on your own. You gotta start working for your food. I've had enough of this leeching off of me. You're gonna reap what you guys sow. Now, I see some of you guys pulling out your cell phones. Social services, free legal. Now, there are some, right, there are some, as we realize, we look at this, there are some areas where we do interrupt the laws of sowing. There are some times where we do interrupt it. And if we look at the beginning of this letter, actually in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul starts talking about some concepts to help us understand when to interrupt this concept of sowing and reaping. Right, but maybe you understand. Maybe at this point you understand you have people that are sowing destruction and you're stepping in on their life. Right, and maybe you just feel the weight of that and like, why won't the person learn? And maybe it's time for you just to say, wait, I'm not going to take on I'm not going to reap what they're sowing anymore. Maybe this is a place where you just need to stop. That's all I need right now. That's what I need. I'm not going to take on anybody anybody else's mess like this. 6:1, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, you may also be tempted. Now remember, there's false teachers and some have fallen to this false teaching, and then some people, there's this division in the church, and some are being provoking and being divisive, saying, I'm better than you. And so Paul's like, okay, for someone who's caught in this sin, whatever it is, you who act from the fruits of the Spirit, restore them gently or meekly. And then he adds on to this with his next phrase. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now the word burden comes from the word baros, which represents like a boulder. It's this heavy, huge, something you want to pick up with your knees bent and your back straight, right? You don't want to lift it with a hernia or anything like that. This is something that it's hard, it's heavy burden to carry. Now this burden, when Paul says carry each other's burdens, this burden was put on by the person who sinned. Sometimes when you sin, from the consequences, you heap a huge burden on your back. And you who are spiritual, he says, should restore him and help carry his burdens. All of it, we see there's an interrupting here of the sowing and reaping. Now, the burdens. Sometimes when someone starts to sin or falls into a sin, it's hard to get out. Right? Sometimes it's like It's those moments where you're like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing it again. And then you find yourself in the same conditions and you do it again. Like you said, sometimes it's hard to get out of these things. And so those who operate out of the Spirit, right, of the fruits of the Spirit, are responsible to come down and not to say, okay, you guys stopped what you're doing. No longer, just cut that out. No, we don't just preach at them, but we get at their level and help carry some of these burdens. You encourage them, give them strength. You find out when their weakest point is, and you're there next to them, speaking encouragement to them. That you help carry their burdens. Sometimes there's like this emotional guilt and pain when you sin. You've hurt people, and you realize you've hurt people, you've hurt God, and sometimes they need someone there to show them grace and to help them reconcile with other people or reconcile with God. Sometimes the physical consequences of sin are too heavy. Like if you look at this, the story I told about the two parents and the boy, right? He would find himself on the streets, not having a job and uneducated. And sometimes that burden to get back on your feet is too heavy, right? I mean, you can't get a job because you don't have a house, right? You can't to shower. You can't get a house because you don't have a job to pay for it. You can't get clothes, and you're stuck, right? And a great example of this is the Cornerstone Rescue Missions, right? They take people in and they carry their burdens with them for a while so that they can get on their feet, right? And so there's this idea that sometimes, and I think in this passage, the understanding is a person wants to be restored. They want to make it right in their life. And when you see that, Paul's like, carry their burdens. Now, never does he say, I don't think, you take the load of their consequences while they don't have to carry anything. I think there's this mutual sharing going on. You help them out. And some days you might have to carry more, and some days you might carry less. I mean, sometimes it depends on the situation. But it's this, you help them out. If they want to do it, you help them out. Sometimes I'm sure we carry each other's burdens just to show people God's grace. But what happens, though, is if we continue to carry people's burdens and they don't want to start living a healthy lifestyle, they'll just keep more heavy burdens on their own back and they'll try to dump them on yours. And so there comes a point where this law of sowing and reaping, it has to continue. But there are moments when we stop. Now, for example, in Romans chapter 15, Paul mentions this. He says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his own good and build him up." Right? We're supposed to bear with one another. There are these moments where we have to cut in and stop the laws of sowing and reaping. When I was in the hospital, I was in there for 2 weeks, and I was out for probably even longer. But while I was out, I didn't do any work at all. And people came in, brought food to my wife and to me, brought food to my kids. And when I got out, I was able to relax for a little bit. Why? Because you were carrying my burden that was too heavy for me, right? Sometimes burdens just fall on our back from life circumstances. And those are times where we step in and say, okay, Jacob, you're laying there. You're not lazy, but you just need some help. All right. Now, remember, in the first verse, Paul's like, watch yourself, so you might be tempted. Because what happens is sometimes if you see someone sinning, you start to think you're better than them. Well, I didn't fall for that. And so when you have to go, you go on to help people, you think you're better because you're helping somebody. And so there's this chance for you to fall into sin, to get pride. Well, Paul writes in verse 3, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You're not better than somebody because you didn't sin. That doesn't make you a better person, right? I mean, we all need God's grace just the same. Each one should test his own actions, and then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself somebody else. You take pride not in that you're better than somebody else, but you look at your responsibilities, and if you're doing them, then you take pride in that. Paul says it in this, for each one should carry his own load. Now, load is talking about each one should carry our own load, our own responsibilities. And in this context, it's talking about, I believe, living by the fruits of the Spirit, the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's our responsibility. Now, Jesus talks about loads in Matthew. He says, let me do this first. Now, baros is his burden, but load represents a sack. It's lighter. It's not heavy. It's something that's bearable that we can carry around. This is our responsibility. Jesus talks about this in Matthew when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this wasn't a misprint in the text. He wasn't asking his disciples to cook him eggs over easy breakfast. Yoke represents a rabbi's teaching. He said, my teaching, following me, is not hard. You follow me, it is not overbearing. It is easy. Right? My sack that I have to carry is I'm here in South Dakota because that's something Jesus gave me. My sack is being a father and a husband. A husband to my wife and a father to my kids. That's my responsibility that I cannot pass off to other people. This is what I have to deal with. And it's not heavy. Following Jesus is not heavy. Now, this concept of understanding what a boulder is and understanding what your sack is, a backpack or whatever, is essential, I believe, to healthy living between people. The problem comes when we start inverting these, when we start treating our backpack, our sack, like it's a boulder, and treating other people's boulders are treating other people's sacks like it's a boulder. I mean, that's when problems arise. Just look at Tom Sawyer, for instance.
Are you feeling okay, Tom?
All right, Bill. I was having so much fun, didn't even hear it come.
Fun?
Why watching this here film?
Nah, that ain't fun. That's work.
Bill, if this was work, would I be doing it? Ain't every day a boy gets to whitewash a fence.
Say, Tom. Let me whitewash a little.
I know what you guys are thinking. Why can't we have that type of music here, Jacob? Come on. Now, Tom Sawyer, right, his responsibility, he got in trouble, his responsibility was to paint the fence. This is what he's supposed to do. But Tom, of course, as you know, the story of his very tricky, sinister little kid, he finds a way of always panning off his responsibility on all the other kids so they can carry his sack for him. He doesn't have to deal with it. Now, we all know people like this. There are people who treat their responsibilities like it's a big boulder on their back. And they come to you and they just want to dump it on to you. And there are people who look at people, others, with just a light load on their back, and they look at it like it's a boulder. And they go around saying, let me help carry this. And they go around helping everyone they can carry their responsibilities. And what happens with enough of these backpacks on their back, it becomes like a boulder, right? We all know people like this. Maybe this is you. You go around and you're just helping everybody out. And you just assume it's all just a boulder. And what happens is you have to take off your responsibilities in order to carry all these things. And so you don't do what you're supposed to do, but you're carrying everybody else's responsibilities with you. And they come back, and they're always asking, and they're just difficult people, but you keep on taking because, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Maybe this is you. Maybe you find yourself always tired, always running, going from here and here and here, and you don't ever have time for the things that need to get done. Right? Your priorities that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to understand the difference between a responsibility and someone's boulder that they're carrying. But maybe also you're carrying a boulder, whether from sin or circumstances, and you're treating it like it's a backpack. I got it. It's just what I got to carry. And you can't, and you won't ask for help because this is what you're supposed to carry. And so maybe you're carrying around this weight when you shouldn't and you need help. Maybe you don't understand what your responsibilities are and what a boulder is, what the burden is. Or maybe you see other people and you see a big boulder on their back and you say, well, that's just their consequences. That's just what they're sowing, they're reaping what they're sowing. And you say that's just what they have to deal with, and you don't even look into it to see if maybe this is just by circumstance, and they really want help out of this. Maybe you don't even look. I think when we come to the understanding of sowing and reaping, when we understand this concept of boulders, what our responsibilities are, and what the things we shouldn't carry alone, I think when we understand that, it becomes easier dealing with people. We talked about a few weeks ago this concept of boundaries. is saying, I'm only going to, these are my responsibilities, this is what I need to deal with, and if anything above that, I shouldn't deal with, I can't, it's unhealthy, I won't deal with it, right? Boundaries are the ability to say no and say yes to good things. Maybe this is a boundary that we need to learn. When someone tries to pawn off their responsibility on us, we say, no, that is not, I love you enough that you need to deal with this. You need to hold on to responsibility. Maybe one of our boundaries is sowing and reaping, understanding what that is. No, this is what you sow, you need to reap this. Because some people will only learn, not from words, but from pain. That's the only way some people will learn, dealing with their consequences. And this is something we could deal with at a relational level, with family, but this is also something we could do with our work as well. What are your responsibilities? Maybe that's the place to start. What are the things that God has called you to that you've been pushing aside because you don't have time? Right? Because you're too busy. What are the things he's called you to do for his kingdom that you say, I'm going to get to later, next year. It's my New Year's resolution next year. What are the things he's put in your heart and he's like, come, just follow me. And you're like, I can't, I'm carrying all these other, what are those things? What are the things that you're carrying that you need to let go of that aren't yours? What are the responsibilities that aren't yours that you're carrying? What are the ones that the people that you that always come to you and you always say yes to that you shouldn't be saying yes to? I know we look at the scriptures and like, I just want to help. I just want to be like Christ-like. But sometimes we don't really understand what being Christ-like means. Sometimes it means letting people deal with their consequences. Now, this isn't a cut and dry thing, right? It's not easy. It's something that takes thought, prayer, and meditation. Do I help this person? It's not as simple as, well, sometimes it takes some deeper time with God. So to be a healthy person, I believe, you need to be in tune with God. You need to spend time in prayer and have his wisdom. What are your responsibilities? What are your boulders you're carrying? And what are your responsibilities? Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we just come to you, and Jesus, we thank you that you came in and you broke the consequences of our actions. We thank you that we don't have to die, but that we have eternal life because of you. But we also know we still deal with consequences even though you've given us eternal life. We still will deal with our earthly consequences here. But you are a gracious God in that you walk beside us. Through our hardships, you help us endure. You don't take away our hardships, but you walk with us and you give us peace, joy, and strength. Lord, help us to be like you. Help us to learn from you. God, there are a lot of people that want to dump stuff on us and we want to dump on others. And Lord, we just need your help to work it out. And so we just ask for your healing in our life to let us know what we should do. And in your name we pray.